We are studying through the book of Matthew, taking it step by step by step. It is the longest of the synoptic gospels. And we have a very broad perspective of the teachings of our Lord in this particular book. Week last, we ended at a cliffhanger, so to speak, in chapter 10 and verse 16. But the Lord says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I encourage us to think about what the Lord is saying to us in that particular verse. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. I send you forth as sheep amongst wolves. Well, let's look at the passage closely. He says, I send you forth. To send you forth means to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, if you don't look at the passage to hear what the Lord is saying, you'll think that he's saying, I'm sending you to wolves. But what he's saying is, I'm sending you from the midst of wolves. Are you with me? Maybe you didn't get what I said yet. Consider it. Because generally, when Christians think about that passage, they think he's sending us into the midst of wolves, by saying, I send you forth as sheep. In, you're already in the midst of wolves, and I'm sending you forth. In other words, I am separating you. You get it? I am separating you from a dangerous situation. And our thought is, wait a minute. You mean God is separating us from that which will destroy us? Yes, that's what he's saying. I'm taking you out from the midst of this. Now, this should begin to change our thinking. It should begin to switch our thinking to the place where we begin to consider, well, God is sending me into a place of safety. If he's sending me into a place of safety, then I'm safe. And basically, the idea is this: don't be concerned about your environment, because I am separating you from danger, from that which is destructive to you. I'm pulling you out. I'm sending you out. Now that should capture our attention. Because if he's sending us forth in the midst, while we're in the midst of wolves, If we don't go, we remain in the midst of wolves. Hello? Therefore, it makes sense. If the salt loses its saltness, it is good for nothing but to be what? Trampled underfoot. Persecution is a result of us not moving. It is not as much of us not doing what God's saying. If I confuse myself. Persecution is effective because we are not obeying. So the early church, as long as the early church stayed in their little cocoon where the church, persecution came and they got scattered. Are you with me? The persecution is a result of us becoming lukewarm, not interactive with the directives of the Lord, and therefore we do not have the safety. God says, I am sending you. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. No good shepherd keeps the sheep with the wolves. He removes them from the midst of the wolves. Are we together? Is it clear now? But our original thinking of most believers is he's sending us to go be with the wolves so that the wolves can kill us. No. That's not what he's talking about. He said, I'm sending you out so that you can be protected from the wolves. So he says, be ye therefore wise. He that winneth souls is what? Wise. God says, be wise. But now he says, be wise as serpents. Be wise as serpents. Now, why is he using that picture of serpents? We know that the serpent was the deceiver. So why is he talking about serpents? Because the woman and the man did not match up in wisdom with the serpent. And therefore, they did not, by not connecting with the word of God, were deceived. So match up in wisdom by knowing what the word of God said. What did the devil say? If you be the Son of God, turn these stones, make them bread. Cast yourself down, and the angels are going to come and make sure that you are protected. Is that what he said? What did Jesus do? It is written. He went back to the word of God and used the word of God as a sword of the Spirit to outsmart the enemy that was trying to outsmart him. That's why we must be very conversant with the word of God. If you're going to outsmart the serpent, know what the word of God said. And the word of God is full truth, not partial truth. And the wisdom of the serpent is partial truth. The fruit was good. God says, we should not eat or touch. That's an addition. That's not what he said. God knows that the day that you eat of this, you will be like God. Were they gods already? Absolutely. Not acknowledging what God said about them already caused them to think that they were going to acquire something that they already had. And the devil's agenda is always to try to make you try to get something that you already have. You're not trying to become righteous. You're already righteous. You're not getting holy because you did the right things. You're already holy in God because you've been separated by God. So the relationship with God based on performance is just a lie that causes you to spin yourself through this process of trying to be something that you are already. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He's not saying become holy. He says, be what you are because you came out of me. That makes sense? Be because we came out of him. Be like your papa. Be like me. Don't try, just be it. Light be. Did light become? And there was what? God wants us to be what he says we are. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion. What I am supposed to be is what God says I am. I am fruitful, therefore I'm not barren. I have dominion, therefore I am not subdued. Amen? I am what God says I am. I am not trying to become what God says I am. I am what God says. When you see him, you shall find out that you are exactly as he is. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen? That makes sense? Okay, so be therefore wise as serpents is an understanding of the fact that God is saying to us, don't allow the enemy to cause you to think that you're going to become something that you already are, because if you are trying to become something that God says you already are, you will be deceived. In other words, don't be deceived. Match him in wisdom. He's quoting scriptures at you, quote scriptures at him. Don't doubt what God says about you. Are we on the same page? Are you seeing that verse in new light? Praise God. That's the purpose. I didn't want us to start going into all of that last Wednesday, because we would have stayed another 1 hour. So that's why the cliffhanger to consider. And harmless as doves. What does that mean, harmless as doves? Well, something that is rather unique about a dove that causes a dove to be different from a pigeon. Doves move away from strife. If you have doves and you have pigeons, the quickest way to identify what is a pigeon and what's a dove is that a dove will take off when there is strife around. Once there's a spirit of strife, a dove takes off. A pigeon hangs around making its funny noises. Doves, they are not there to generate harm. They are there to practice peace. So God says to us, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. So one sheep, good, wolves, bad. Serpents, bad. Doves, good. Yeah? So we have two bad, two good. Make sense? Okay. Be harmless as doves. If doves are not there to hang around strife, then God is saying, don't be a person of strife. A minister of God should not be in strife. A minister of God does not embrace strife. It shuns strife. Because where strife is, there's all kinds of evil works. And the root of strife is not just an act in the heart, but it is a manifestation in the words that we speak. And God says, don't be a strife bearer or carrier. Anything that would generate strife, stay away from. Move away from it. Now, that is our part. We have been sent forth or sent out from the midst of wolves. Wolves are destructive, scavengers, and all of that, creating an atmosphere of confusion, tearing things apart, devouring each other, the word of God says. When you're not operating and walking in love one with another, then you're going to be in that state where you're busy devouring each other and tearing each other apart. I'm sending you away from that kind of an atmosphere. I want you to be in a peaceful atmosphere. I want you to embrace my word and not try to be, not you trying to become in something, but be what I say you are. Believe my word. Believe my word. And be in a state where you are not practicing strife. Now, having said all of that, he's going to go forth and begin to tell us about other issues. Because the fact is, while you're being sent forth, while you are trying to be smart with the word of God, while you're trying to avoid strife, you live in a real world. And people are people, and they will do whatever people do. So he says in verse 17, but beware of men. Huh? Beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, in their gathering points. They're going to scourge you. They're going to, he says, beware of men. In other words, I want you, while you're doing all of this, I want you to understand that you have to be careful with people. They are going to do certain things. They're going to accuse you of stuff. They're going to scourge you in their synagogues, their meeting places. He says, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Because of me, you're going to be brought before governors and kings for a testimony against them, against the kings and the Gentiles. You're going to be brought before kings, and you're going to be brought before governors. You're going to be accused of all kinds of things. And he says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. I want you to worry about what you're going to say. Say, don't start worrying about any of that. Just relax. It is well. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. At the time that you drag before the kings and governors and those who do not believe in God, the time, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say. You're going to have what you're going to say. I'm going to place it in your mouth. Notice what it says. I'm going to do what? Put it in your mouth. Look at verse 19 again. Watch this. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. Don't start thinking about, how am I going to say this? What am I going to say so I don't entangle myself? Blah, blah, blah. He said, don't worry about that. For it shall be given you in that same hour. Now, in other words, God is saying, there is no way you're going to be prepared. That's the point. There is no way you're going to be prepared for what they are putting together. But I tell you what, I am prepared. And I'm going to tell you what you have to say. And that's exactly what happened to Stephen. He's there and he opens his mouth and he begins to talk, and the glory of God was on his face, and the people that were accusing him and trying to persecute him and all of that were dumbfounded. He outsmarted every one of them. Now they killed him, yeah, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible tells us Jesus stood to welcome him. He says, don't be afraid of man that can only hurt the body. Concern yourself with that. Be concerned with the one that can destroy body and soul. So focus your attention on him. And that's basically what he's saying. Don't worry about anything. I'm sending you out, but there are times when it's going to hit the fan. But when it does, just know I'm there for you. I'm going to give you the right words, and it's to be a witness against them. Amen? When they deliver you to kings and to governors, and they go against you and they persecute and whatever, it says it is to be a witness against them. That's why. That's part of me sending you. They deliver you, but I'm the one. I'm there. I'm there with you. So that they have no excuse. The word of God says in Timothy, it says, we pray for leaders. So part of us ministering and going forth and being wise is doing what God says we should do. We pray for leaders. We pray for people of all stripes and colors, and whether they are liberals or conservatives or socialists, or whatever, communists, whatever kind of leadership. So pray for leaders. Pray for men everywhere. That's our mandate. Hallelujah. He says, be certain of this. I'm going to give you what you need to say the same hour. The same hour. That reminds me about what happened to me many years ago. I was in my office. Some of you may have heard this story before. I was in my office, and the Lord says, I want to address the nation today. And I'm saying, address the nation. Is there somebody coming here today that I don't know? That you're going to be, addressing the nation. And by the way, where exactly are you going to be addressing the nation from? He says, right here. Right here. Somebody come in here. He said, no. I said, okay, so how are you going to address the nation? He said, through you. I said, and exactly what are we going to be talking about? None of your business. I said, oh my God. We're going to address the nation. And it's none of my business, and you're going to talk through me. So I came here, sat down there, in fear and trembling and wondering, what am I going to say? And as I walked from there, got here, I stood here, and I opened my mouth, and there it all came out. None of it was planned. I didn't even know what I was going to talk about. It just poured out for over an hour. I think we still have some of the CDs and DVDs. I actually need to take one of them and listen to it again. I went after everything. Oh, my God. Did it ever pour out? And I finished. And the Lord says, okay, now send it to Prime Minister and members of Parliament. At that time, I keep on forgetting his name. Huh? No, Paul Martin, yes. Paul Martin was our prime minister. And the Liberal Party was trying to stifle the voices of ministries and, you know, people losing their tax receipt status and, you know, for donations. You know, I think there was a two brothers called the Lalonde brothers at the time. They lost their papers, you know, and they had to move to the States. I don't know what ever happened to them. They were shut down and out. And here I am, and I started out, I think I started out, I started out with the Masons. What do I know about the Masons? But God knew about the Masons, and pow, 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 pow. Going through a whole gamut of stuff. Now I said, send it. Huh? So my excuse was, I don't have the money to send this thing out to all the members of parliament. I don't even know who those people are. But don't worry about that. And some company here in town took that CD, made CDs and DVDs, hundreds of them, for free. Handed it over to me. Aye, aye. What am I going to do now? But send it out. So I sent it out with, you know, a letter, and Paul Martin was riding high on the polls at the time. You know, everything was going real well for him. And what's his name? Layton, the late Jack Layton, writes back and said, based on what you've sent, this information you've sent to me, I am going to change the way I do things. And Paul Martin, God moved him, and he put some kind of, I've forgotten what, legislation or whatever, something, and the government was toppled. He then, or rather, he called for an election because of what he was trying to do. And he was still riding. I was out in Africa or something, and Paul Martin was in the 70s. He was still doing very well. I said, Lord, you told me to send these people stuff. This guy is still going up there. By the time I got home, he hit a scandal. Bang, 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 bang. He dropped from the high place where he was, way down, and Stephen Harper became the minority government. And the Lord said, when I sent a message to him, I told him, I said, you change or you're going to be fired twice in one day. The guy didn't listen. He continued in his way. And sure enough, he crashed. And he stood with his own mouth and resigned from being the leader of the Liberal Party. Fired twice in one day. The whole country fired him, and then he fired himself. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, I'm going to reduce that Liberal Party to zero. You heard me here talking about it. Conservatives were going to go for 3 terms. Or three elections, so to speak. And then God was going to give a reprieve to give the Liberal Party a chance to change. But we have a Liberal Party that just came back after they've been reduced to a no-party status. God did it. I will tell you what to say. God brought them down, way down. Jack Layton was sick unto death. God raised him up from his deathbed, and he was walking around with his walking stick. This is, you all saw this, didn't you? He was walking around with his walking stick. When the liberals were reduced to nothing, he became the opposition party. He never stepped into the House of Parliament to take his position, but God was just honoring him for, because you listened to my prophet, I will let you and your party rise. And that's how it happened. And so Harper finished his third and says, I clean the table. I give everybody a chance again. And our present prime minister came up and it's where he is, but he's doing his thing. And guess what God is going to do again? God is about to smack somebody. Amen? It's just the way it's going to be. It's just the way it's going to be. And man is not going to stop God. You see, because God is in control. Amen? He's in charge. Man thinks they're in charge, and they're going to do whatever it is they want to do, whenever it is they want to do it. God says, I don't think so. I'm going to be a witness. Then it says in verse 20, for it is not ye that speak. You're not the one speaking, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. I am going to address the nation. It wasn't me. I had no clue about what I'm going to be talking about. But God was speaking. God was saying what he wanted to say to the nation. He had this way of addressing the nation and addressing not just the nation, he addressed the church. That's when I heard him say, the church has no right. I couldn't believe it. To start talking about homosexuality and immorality of all kinds, if it does not address the issue of adultery and fornication in the church. I said, what was that? What on earth was that? And he started to explain it to me. I learned a whole deal from that experience. From a message that I had nothing to do, it's not because I prepared anything. I learned God covered a whole lot of stuff in one message that still rings true today. He says, it's the Father which speaketh in you. He speaketh, watch this, he speaketh what? Why did it say in you, or why did it not say he speaketh through you? Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. So God is saying, I'm going to download inside of you so that you can spill it out. Amen? I'm going to download the information inside of you so that you can speak. So I say, Lord, download into me your words, your truth, the very essence of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what we need. We need God to download inside of us. Every one of us. So that he can use anyone when he wants to use somebody. I may come here one day and the Lord says, well, today you're not speaking. Yeah, but Lord, you told me I was speaking before. What happened? No, not today. So who is speaking? Nicole. Okay, Nicole, the Lord said, you have something to say. I don't think so. I didn't hear nothing. I don't think so. You still move. as soon as you hit the spot, pow, there it goes. God can pick anybody. I remember the day we're having a special meeting here. We had about five different speakers. And came in here, and the Lord says, today I'm going to play football. I said, football? What does that mean? He says, today is football. I'm going to be the quarterback. I say, huh? What does that mean? I don't understand, Lord. He says, you see all of you here? I said, yeah. None of you are going to be used today. I say, these are very key speakers. They came from the United States, and I'm here, chosen, anointed. You're not going to use any of us? I said, no. So okay. What is going to happen? So we're here, praising the Lord and worshiping, and the Lord tossed the ball. Pooh, it hit Ashley, my daughter. And Ashley started ministering to people. You know, it seemed like it was out of order. She started ministering to people over here, and people were watching. People were just dropping under the power of God. And before you know it, people started running over there. Do you guys remember this? God was so clear, this is what I'm doing today. So it has nothing to do with me or anyone else. It's about God. So if the devil thinks he can take one of us out, it's a mistake. Not if God has downloaded on every one of us, and as soon as he tries to take one person out, somebody else pops up, and another one pops up, and another one pops up. How many are you going to get rid of? Everyone saying the same thing, boldly, in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because God speaketh in you. We cannot be stopped. So, well, let's get rid of the pastor. If you get rid of the pastor, the church will scatter. Lies, lies, lies. God has already downloaded. The good spiritual virus has already gone through. Yeah, pow! That's it. The devil is defeated. Amen? And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Let me wrap up. He says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be what? Saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Amen? So, God says to us, I'm there. I'm protecting you. I'm sending you forth. I'm sending you out from the midst of wolves. But persecution is still going to come. It's going to come from family. It's going to come from friends. It's going to come from situations that you never expected. He says, but understand, I'm your master, and they called me demon-possessed. They're going to call you the same. They're going to say, you're not using the power of God. They said it about me. I'm going to accuse you of the same. So what you and I need to do is to be certain that we are faithfully connected to God's directives. Something happened to me a few days ago. The Lord had spoken to me about something that was coming my way. And so I was excited about it. And then told me exactly what it was. And the next day, I talked with this particular individual or individuals. And I was expecting them to tell me what the Lord told me was going to happen. But they didn't even come close to hinting about it. And when I hung up, I said, Lord, you told me something. And the timing that I thought that thing would have happened, it didn't happen. Am I not hearing from you anymore? Or was that just me? It was of great concern to me because I knew what I heard from God, and what I heard and what I was experiencing did not match up. And I started thinking, if this that I thought I heard from God didn't happen like this, have I been hearing from God? What's going on here? What's going on? So the next day, some people called me and they told me what God had already told me was going to happen. And I just broke. I broke because of the blessing that was in what they were bringing to me, but more so because, I heard you. I heard. Yes! When God has spoken to you, God is directing you, doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be accused, that you're not going to be persecuted. All of that is still true. But if you're going to be persecuted knowing that you are doing the right thing. You are in obedience to God. So this is the deal. If you do nothing, you're going to be persecuted. If you do the right thing, you're going to be persecuted. And God says, make sure that you're persecuted doing the right thing and not because you are not doing the right thing. Make sense? Praise the Lord. Let us stop there today and just give God thanks for his faithfulness. Father, we will not live in fear. We will not be intimidated by the activities of the enemy, but rather we will cleave unto your loving kindness and your tender mercies, recognizing, O God, that you are our keeper, that you are the God who sent us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You send us forth. You separate us. You cause us, O God, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You protect us as you cause us to be aware of our environment. So, Lord, O God, that we escape the prosecution, the charge, the attacks of men. The word says, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. We rest ourselves in your wisdom. Hide us from the evil intent of the enemy. Cause us, O God, to flourish under the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, living life to the full. Shut down every enemy. Even as you said to Moses, those that sought your life are all dead. And as you said to Joseph and Mary, they that sought the life of this little one are all gone. So, Father, rid us of every enemy, so, Father, that we may fulfill the divine mandate that you have for us. That we fulfill, O God, that mandate and fulfill it well. So, Father, one day you will say of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We draw on your ability, Father, and we rest in your divine peace. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.